Genesis chapter 4. This morning we talked about several different things about Eve and happily even after. One thing we talked about was we can have a even happily ever after when life goes off script. And actually I did find that book if anybody's interested. Of course it's back there, but off script, what to do when God rewrites your life. In the back of it says, discover 10 decisions that will transform your perspective in the midst of your trial. And so this is a young fellow. I say young. He's my age. That's still young, isn't it? 48. Miss Dana, that's still young, isn't it? I'm so thankful I'm not turning 50 like some people that... No, I'm sorry. That was just wrong. No. It's inevitable. No, I'll be thankful when I turn 50, if the Lord allows, and 60 and 70, however long the Lord will allow until he comes back. And so... But the point is, he was a relatively young fellow in his 40s when he contracted cancer, and God showed him so very much through that. And I think the Lord showed Eve many things when life went off script with her. We also talked about this morning that we can have a happily even after, even without the example of a godly mother to succeed. And, you know, no one here has a perfect mother. But I'm thankful for godly mothers, and you know, just listen to your all's testimonies and many more that could have been said and maybe have been said in times past. Just think about Eve. Put yourself, I mean, there was no trailblaze. There was nobody to lean on. Again, I mean, obviously she had her husband and the Lord, but just no, as far as practical, everything was a first for her. And you know, I'm thankful my wife and I had a little bit different. We both thankful for our parents, but literally, we got married on December 21st. We celebrated Christmas with both families, and then we moved 400 miles away to Indianapolis and had to kind of just kick things off on our own somewhat. But we still had them to lean on. But, I mean, this is Eve, just totally no mother to lean on. And so I think that's very powerful of her. We also talked about Eve's testimony that she had a happy even after, even in the shadows. And moms, you never know the influence, just like we heard tonight, some sweet testimonies from your sons and daughters and other people you've had an impact on. You never know exactly to the extent of the reach that your influence makes, that your prayers make, that your testimony makes, that your instruction makes. I ran across this account back in the Civil War, just not long after the Civil War. But I'll just read it rather than try and paraphrase, On Christmas Eve of 1875, a notable musician was riding a steamboat home to see his family for the holiday. While traveling, he was recognized by his fellow passengers. When asked to sing a song, the man chose to sing the hymn, "Savior, Like a Shepherd Lead Us." After he was finished, the crowd applauded, and while a man stepped from the back, and after the crowd dissipated, asked him a question, "Did you serve by any chance in the Union Army?" And the man was a bit taken back. It's such a random question. And the man said, yes, I had. The man then continued, "Can you remember if you were on picket duty on a summer night in 1862? Does that sound even remotely like that could have been you?" And again, the musician confirmed that well could have been me. Then the man revealed his reason why asking him these two seemingly random questions. He said, "So did I, but I was not in the Union Army. I was in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I thought to myself, that fellow will never get away alive. I raised my musket and took aim. I was standing in the shadow, completely concealed, while the full light of the moon was falling upon you. At that instant, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing, Savior, Like a Shepherd Lead Us. I said to myself, let him sing his song to the end, and I can shoot him afterwards. He's my victim at all events, and my bullet cannot miss him. But the song you sang then was the song you just sang now. I heard the words perfectly. We are thine. Do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Those words stirred up many memories. I began to think of my own childhood and my God-fearing mother. She had many times sung that very song to me. When you had finished your song, it was impossible for me to take aim again. I thought the Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty. And my arm of its own accord dropped limp at my side." and just kind of a powerful testimony, just one mom influence behind the scene, in the shadows, singing, teaching her songs, her son's songs in the shadows. And I think even, I'm always amazed sometimes when our four kids, one of them might say something, you know, I thought it was just a very random thing. I thought it was not something that would be lodged in their memories, just kind of a brief, you know, something you just pass over, but yet it was something that they really recall to mind, and just those little kind of things. And Eve was very content, I believe, to live life in the shadows and be that godly influence, as we talked about this morning, be that Holy Spirit, if you will, in her home. And then, of course, last thing we talked about this morning, really on the salvation front, was she had a happily even after falling short, even after this matter of sin. Two more things tonight, and I know we've taken a lot of time, so a very short message tonight, and then we'll get to those Magnum ice cream bars. We didn't forget about those. So I put these last two thoughts down. Eve had a happily even after, even with the sorrow of a prodigal, even with the sorrow of a prodigal. You know, not every prodigal comes home. You know the account in Scripture, and we're not going to go to that one, but look at Genesis chapter 4. There's no account that this prodigal came home. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 12. This is after Cain had slew his brother Abel. And again, we talked this morning how Eve lost two sons, lost the life of one son and lost the heart of another. And here is Cain's punishment. Verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And there's a few more verses of dialogue. Look down in verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Nod means to be in exile, wandering. Literally, Cain went out to no man's land, as it were. And he remained, so far as we know, by and large, remained a prodigal much of his life. And unlike the prodigal in Jesus' parable, never did return home to a certain extent. Perhaps Eve could have written the following poem. These might echo her sentiments. Where is my boy tonight, the boy of my tenderest care, the boy that was once my joy and light, the child of my love and prayer? Once he was pure as morning dew as he knelt at his mother's knee. No face was so bright, no heart more true, and none was so sweet as he. Oh, could I see you now, my boy, as fair as in olden time, when laughter and smile made home a joy and life was a merry chime. Go for my wandering boy tonight. Go, search for him wherever you will. But bring him to me with all his blight and tell him I love him still. Where is my boy tonight? Where is my boy tonight? My heart overflows, for I love him, he knows. Oh, where is my boy tonight? I wonder which one really would have been a harder thing for Eve to have borne, the regret and the sting of the original sin, and that the devil had used her to get to her heart and also the heart of her husband. And as stinging as that would have been also to see a prodigal, one of her sons killing another. But there was a happily even after, I believe, and we see that on in verse 25. And I put this down as our last point, happily even after and the beauty of a second chance. Look at verse 25. Let's say verse 25 together because it's such a sweet thing. There's been so much sorrow that's kind of covered Eve's world, and verse 25 is a beautiful reminder of God's grace. Verse 25 together, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. How very powerful of that, the beauty of a second chance. The fellows have a slide back there, I think, but Roy Riggles was a man that played in the 1929 Rose Bowl. And here's a picture that you see in that actual game. He played for the University of California, and they were playing Georgia Tech. And the players seemed like they were a lot smaller back then. That was before steroids and massive gyms and all those kind of things. But over 100,000 people watching on, much like they do today. Roy Riggles recovered a fumble, but in the midst of the just confusion, he took a couple hits. Like anybody, he actually got disorientated and ran 75 yards in the wrong way. And his teammates ran to tackle him. One of his teammates tackled him at the 5-yard line. And anyway, that move ended up the team, University of California, was so dejected. He tackled him at the 5-yard line. The next play pushed him back to the 1-yard line, and the coach decided to punt on second down because. And the punt got blocked, and Georgia Tech got a safety out of it, and so got 2 points. And the team ended up losing. I'll cut to the chase. The team ended up losing 8-7. So that one move kind of cost the team the game. But the point I'm trying to say is this: whenever Roy Riggles came in at halftime, he put a towel over his head, and he cried, and he cried, and he cried. Coach gave the halftime talk. Everybody wondered what Coach was going to say. He didn't even mention Roy Riggles, you know, major blunder. And after halftime was over, after the talk was over anyway, Coach said, "All right, boys, you got another half to play. Let's go on." And all the team ran out, but there was Roy Riggles still just on the bench, towel over his head, still weeping. And Coach said, "Come on, Roy, let's go." And the account says that Roy said, "Coach, I can't do it. I've ruined you. I've disgraced the University of California. Coach, I can't face that crowd." The coach said this: "Roy, get up and go back in. The game is only half over." And Roy did go back in, and he was a player. There was no more things like that the second half. I've already told you that. I know you might be expecting they might come back and win the game. They didn't. But can I tell you, the Lord used it. I don't know if Roy Riggle was a Christian or not. And he died about 20 years ago. But you know, for the rest of his life, he had as a ministry, he counseled with players, professional players, college players that made likewise just big-time blunders in critical games. And just some of the articles I looked at, he counseled people, you know, again and again and again. "Hey, here's how I got through that," and just all those kind of things. And he turned that into a positive, if you were. But the point is, Coach gave him a second chance. And even though it didn't come out the way that he wanted, he still had a second chance on life, and he used that for the other people's good. I think if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 18 for a moment, I think our Lord is into giving second chances. Amen. He is a God of second chances. Jeremiah chapter 18. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean? How do you know that?" I think Scripture is full of people that God has given second and third and 10th and 100th chances to. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down into the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again a second time." Obviously, I added the second time, but he made it again. "Another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Our Lord is in it. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's just one example." I think Samson knew the beauty of a second chance. We've talked about him. After he had blown it far worse than Roy Riggles ever imagined, the Bible talks about the hair of Samson's head began to grow again. That's a second chance. I think of David. David blew it big time again and again and again, not just with Bathsheba, but just with the census that he took, and so many times. And God was gracious and dealt with him in love and grace. Peter. Do you think Peter knew a thing or two about God being a God of second chances and the beauty of that? And God never gave, Peter gave up on Peter. We don't really know this for sure, but probably many of the other disciples at one point or time kind of gave up on Peter. But God never did give up on Peter. His last words in Scripture to him were, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And Peter finally turned that corner and did exactly that for God. I think of Mark. We talked early on in our study of Acts. Mark took off on that second missionary journey. We don't really know the reasons why. We can speculate. Maybe he got homesick. Maybe he got in over his head. There was some heavy spiritual warfare going on those early missions trips. And all we know for sure is that he left, and it was a division point for Paul and Barnabas. And for a while, Paul was done with Mark. But was God done with Mark? God wasn't done with Mark. He was so gracious to him and went on to, just a testimony of God's grace, went on to use him to write one of the Gospels bearing his same name. And finally, Paul came back around and said, in his latter years, said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, bring with thee Mark, for he is now profitable unto me. Second chances, again, you think Jonah knew something about second chances? Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And here we see in our text, in Genesis chapter 4, we see, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. We see God's judgment fall in chapter 3, and rightfully so, but we also see God's grace fall in chapter 4. Eve knew something about the beauty of a second chance. I don't know how to pronounce this. If you go to the next slide, Sam, I don't know how to pronounce this museum, but it's in Amsterdam, Rijks. And houses many famous rare paintings, many of them from kind of the peak of the Renaissance period, and some of the great 17th century painters all have displays in the Amsterdam Museum. And one day, an unemployed school teacher came in with a knife, and of course they have guards all around, but this was back before, probably before a lot of the heavy security. But just in a moment, just seemed so very random, that unemployed school teacher took out a knife, one of those famous paintings, and just began to tear it, and just did it, just almost destroyed it before the security guards came in and took him down and stopped it. A lot of times there's kind of copycat crimes, and that crime just within a week, just a couple days later, at another St. Peter's Cathedral, someone came in, not with a knife but with a hammer, did kind of the same damage to one of the famous sculptures. And my point in saying all this is both of those museums, separate incidents, you know, all those kind of things, but both of those curators of those museums did not throw those paintings away, did not throw that sculpture away, but they took some of the finest artists in the world, both from the sculpting side and from the artistry that the painting side, and rebuilt that painting and rebuilt that sculptor, and didn't throw them away, but just spared no expense in putting those back together. Didn't care what the cost was. They wanted to restore the pieces fully. And I think of Eve so often, especially after the fall, probably wanted to just be done with it all. But God truly brought forth some great things, some beauty from the ashes. I think of Isaiah 61, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And that really is what Seth was to, I realize Seth was Eve's third child, not a second child, but Seth was a second chance. The righteous line had been broken with the death of Abel, and but God's plans weren't thwarted. He gave Seth and the righteous line that we have down all through, down through David and down through ultimately to Christ. That righteous line was continued, and it went through Seth. And there's a beauty of a second chance. And I don't know what all 2016 has thrown at you. I know some of our folks are just already looking ahead to 2017 and ready for some things to be done. It just seems like one thing after another sometimes, and whether it's health or work or just family trials. But I'm just here to tell you that there can be a happily even after, because we do have a God of a second chance. He wasn't done with Eve. He wasn't done with her lineage, and he's not done with you or me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that we're in a very disposable society, a throwaway society. We're not much into keepsakes, Lord, but you are very much into preservation, and you're into restoration. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. So many times we sideline ourselves when we refuse to get back up, Lord, but you're not through with us. There are times where you maybe have to sit us down for a while and sit us out for a while, Lord, but it's never with the purpose of just taking us out. It's with the purpose of restoration and getting us to a place mentally where we need to be, where we can serve you again. And we thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that you did not give up on Eve. A wonderful example, not just for the ladies in the room, the mothers in our room, Lord, but an example for all of us. And we thank you that you're the God of second chances.